episode of Calm, Cool, and Connected is brought to you by Bridgeside Medical Clinic, Chesapeake Integrated Behavioral Healthcare, and Edgar Casey's ARE.
Now more than ever, we have an opportunity to be a positive force in the world, to help heal the divide, to treat each other and ourselves with respect. But with so many tools out there, from meditation to physical training, proper nutrition, therapy, and so many others, we all need a little help navigating all the options. Join us as we share in-depth information, insights, and thought-provoking discussions that will help answer your questions about how to stay calm, cool, and connected during these times. Welcome to Calm, Cool, and Connected, your guidebook to peace of mind.
Hello, and welcome to Calm, Cool, and Connected. I'm your host, Dr. Elizabeth Bedrick. The brain is wired for pleasure-seeking activities, and for some, this is making financial purchases and obtaining new things. Whether these new things are items, adventures, self-care activities, spending money can be a really enjoyable pastime for a lot of people. However, the flip side of this is that if we're not responsible with it, it can actually be a really stressful and even addictive activity. Joining us today is Sheng, a personal finance expert. She's joining us today to talk with us about the impact of our mental health on our spending habits. Hi, Sheng. Welcome.
Hi. It's so good to be here.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us. Before we go into the interview, let's talk a little bit about your background and the work that you're doing in this area.
Hi, everyone. My name is Sheng. I blog about personal finance at Save My Sense. I reached the ability to be work optional in my 30s, meaning I currently have over $1 million in net worth. And I did so by focusing on increasing my income, lowering my expenses, and investing the difference. I discovered that there was a strong connection between mental health and financial wealth, and that's what I blog about today.
Well, that's really interesting and something I'm sure a lot of our viewers will be really fascinated to hear about. Tell us how the wiring of the brain really impacts these spending decisions. I know that's something you focus on with your clients and in your blogging.
That's right. And Dr. Frederick, this is probably too elementary for you, but to explain it to the wide audience, our brains typically function at three levels. We have the reptilian fight or flight mode, then we have the emotional level, then we have the strategic cortex, you know, thinking level. When our brains are healthy, we're able to think really long term, into the future, plan for everything at the highest level. But when our mental health is bad, when our brains are injured, that brings our ability to function at that highest level down, sometimes to the emotional level, and sometimes down to just the fight or flight level. And when that happens, we're not able to think strategically, and we often make financial decisions that feel good in the short term, but shoot ourselves in the foot in the long term.
Yes, and that is so accurate. I mean, a lot of people might use it as a numbing mechanism, a coping. You know, there's a lot of times because of the dopamine hit that comes along with spending and obtaining these new items or experiences, it's really tempting to do that. And you talk about there being life experiences, whether traumatic events or different things that might influence not only the wiring of the brain, but also how we might react in those moments. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, I often say there are sources of trauma that can really trigger spending episodes. The most common one that I've seen in the people that I coach are people going through divorces and breakups, because it's a huge emotional event in your life and you're searching for companionship, you're lonely, so you often do retail therapy as a result. I also see it when people experience death of a loved one, especially a very, very close person. If they have abuse of any kind, unfortunately, that leads a lot to financial issues. And also health scares, especially chronic health scares that keep you very isolated at home, can also lead to a lot of spending to make up for the fact that you're not healthy or not out with your friends.
Yes, I mean, very accurate on so many levels. How do you work with your clients when they identify that maybe their spending habits are coming from a place of trauma or their fight or flight response has been activated? How do you help them to work through that?
First, we have to identify what it is. And oftentimes, a lot of clients don't know that they've gone through significant trauma, or they don't even realize that the way that their parents or their close family members approach finances in an incorrect way growing up, and they picked up those bad habits. And so the main way that I do it is through a rewiring technique that I call trigger action reward. So I'll use Christmas presents as an example because it's very relatable right now. People who grew up with the wrong attitude for Christmas presents, oftentimes their parents bought a lot of Christmas presents or withheld Christmas presents as a way to show love or withhold love. And so the child, the inner child, ties a connection between their self-worth and presents. So growing up, becoming an adult, and once you have your own money, whenever you feel bad about yourself, then what I often see in these people is that they end up buying gifts or buying luxury things, luxury experiences to make themselves feel better or feel worthy. So the trigger is you felt unworthy and your action is you buy something and the reward is you think you feel better. But ultimately the reward is wrong and we have to tie the trigger and the action to the correct reward. And the correct reward is learning to love yourself and learning to be proud of yourself no matter what. So that the next time you're triggered, you feel, oh, I'm unworthy, I'm not enough. Your action is not, I'm going to go buy something to make myself feel better. It might just be saying something as simple as, I am enough. I'm awesome. And journaling or taking a photo that you like of yourself such that it builds up the true reward, which is self-confidence and self-love.
Yeah, and that's really important. Great points that we absolutely have our brain wired and programmed throughout childhood for so many of the decisions we make. And I like how you're talking about spending being one of those. Can you give us a couple examples of maybe some of these unhealthy behaviors that we learn when it comes to managing our finances?
A very common mindset that I see in people who manage their finances incorrectly is the scarcity mindset, where you feel that there's not enough money to go around. Or what I have right now is what I can get, or I need to hold on to everything and hoard everything because there's nothing coming tomorrow. That's operating out of fear that there is nothing else left for you, that you can't aspire to better things or that you are limited. And we're kind of in a not so great economy right now with high interest rates, lots of people talking about recession, lots of people seeing rents rise or not being able to afford their houses. So they say, I'm out. I can't do it. This is not for me. I'm going to sit out and not invest, or I'm not going to even care about my retirement. And that's the mindset of fear that I'd like to guide people away from and say, you know what? Finances is part of adult life. You got to take care of future you at some point. So why not do things scared, but do it anyway? Because
right.
You can't grow until you do something that pushes you out of your comfort zone.
Absolutely right. And what is maybe a decision that somebody could make that is more on the healthier side? You know, if they're dealing with this scarcity mindset, what is maybe even just a couple small steps that people can make to start to the snowball of, you know, feeling more confident in these bigger decisions?
Absolutely. When you want to try to do something scared, don't try to make a huge change. You know, I'm not asking you to uproot your life, move across the country, which I just did. You know, you don't have to do something that drastic. But maybe it is waking up every day and the first thing you say is a gratitude phrase. Like, I'm so grateful that I get to wake up feeling great today or something like that. It kind of centers your mind into a positive zone from the beginning. Another thing I'd like you to do is find one habit that can really make a difference in your finances. And for most people, it is tracking how much you're spending on a daily basis. So set aside 5, 10, 15 minutes a day and write down what did I spend on and how much. Not to judge yourself how you spent, but to have information. Because without information on your spending, we don't know what we have to work with in order to improve your finances.
That makes a lot of sense. So if we write it down, we see where it's going, we can identify maybe where something was not necessary or maybe where something was necessary. And because of the fear, we held back on that. Is there any type of app or platform or anything you suggest for that? Or do you suggest pen and paper?
It's whatever works with the way that you like to track things. So if you love apps, there's a great app called YouNeedABudget.com, YNAB.com for short, that I know a lot of people subscribe to. If you're a journaling visual type, get a bullet journal or one of those daily planners. Those are really great. If you're an Excel whiz, which is sort of where I came from, I built my own little Excel budgeting spreadsheet that you could use to track your expenses.
Great ideas. And Sheng, where can people find you? Website or social media? How can you be found?
I am the most active on Instagram at SaveMySense. And also for longer, more complex topics, I highly recommend that you visit SaveMySense.com.
Very great. Well, thank you so much, Sheng. This has been really valuable information.
Thank you.
And thank you all for tuning in to this episode of Calm, Cool, and Connected. Please make sure to find us on Facebook and Instagram, and also make sure to rate and subscribe to our podcast so that others can discover our content as well. Thank you again for joining us on this episode of Calm, Cool, and Connected.